Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL. Everybody has their attention focused on the NCAA tournament, and right now we've got a gentleman on the line that knows a lot about said tournament, not only because he was able to break it down on whatifsports.com earlier this week, but also because he is a gigantic fan of college hoops. He is Ryan Fowler of Fox Sports and What If Sports. Ryan, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. It's probably one of the best times of the year to be a sports fan. You got a little, 4-day holiday this weekend. Plus, it falls on St. Patrick's Day. So the Irish Catholics of America are having a good time today on top of a full slate of games. So it's all systems go.
Let's start with that, my friend, because sure. That's one of the social media poll questions for today. We're asking folks to tell us what excuses they're giving their bosses for not making it into the office today. You're a hardworking guy. You can never take any days off. But that doesn't mean that in the past you've never told your boss on the first day of the tournament or St. Patrick's Day, hey, boss, can't make it in today. I think I've got a left shin contusion. What is the best excuse you've ever given a boss in the past about not being able to make it in for either the tournament or St. Patty's Day?
Well, I think if you were playing it smart, especially with the way that this winter has gone, the stomach flu's been going around, Andy, and nobody wants any part of that. So if you say you're out of commission with the C, but you have to be smart about it, because if you take yesterday or today off with, quote-unquote, the flu, or your kid has the flu, one of my coworkers, and I actually believe him, one of my coworkers was out with pink eye yesterday. Now, most situations, you'd probably call a little BS on that, but you have to do it a little bit more in advance. You can't land right on the Thursday, right on the Friday that you're going to be out of commission. You kind of have to play the angle. And the stomach flu, I think, is a lock, especially with how often it's been going around. It's not like you can really call that's not possible because it's been going around this year. But that's usually the safe bet. The stomach flu, nobody wants parts of that, so you're going to probably keep your distance.
Well, you are a man of many talents, let me tell you. All the great work that you do is always on display, whether it's talking about college hoops, fantasy football, fantasy baseball, but here you are now offering the right ways of going about presenting your excuses to your bosses, trying to get some days off, especially this time of the year. I'll tell you what, man, there are many reasons why we bring you on this show, but there may be some higher-ups listening to the show right now thinking, all right, I need to keep my employees away from Fowler.
Right. No, you don't want Fox HR listening to your show just today.
All right, man. Hey, we have a bone to pick with you. Briefly here. Because on the second day of this show, we had asked a few fantasy baseball questions, and you, my friend, you put the kibosh on Jason Kipnis. You had mentioned that he was a guy you need to avoid. You jinxed him because now he's out, and we don't know how long he's out for.
Right. Yeah, I'll tell you what, Andy, and it wasn't because of that. My regression worries were if he played 150-plus games. But, again, this is the concern with the way that this roster is constructed. Everybody's got to kind of play their role. And when an injury or an injury or two, and I'm not even including Michael Brantley, occur, the house of cards kind of falls apart because there's really no real places to reload. And when you look at Carrasco with the elbow – and Tomlin getting roughed up in his last start. And again, spring training stats can be taken with a grain of salt, but all the powers that be need to be on that field for at least 130-plus games for everything to shake out and to put them in a good spot to compete next October. But Kipnis, I know, I get it. I'll take the heat on this one. But the regression was even before this. Now it's even a little bit more of a solid situation that you might have to wait a little bit longer to take a stab at Jason Kipnis in your draft.
Taking a look at the three Indians right now who are injured but who could certainly have major fantasy implications if indeed they are healthy. Obviously, Michael Brantley's a big wild card, but folks would like to know about him. Jason Kipnis, you mentioned, is a guy you could probably get a little bit later now because his status is unknown. You also touched on Carrasco for just a moment there. Now, I think with him, people are going to be at least a little bit hesitant because of the way last year ended, too. So with those three guys in mind, in a typical draft, where do you think those guys could be had at this point?
Well, I would say Brantley's going to come with the best value. That's going to be somebody that's going to be on the draft board for a while, only because there just isn't a clear picture on when he's going to be able to return. I mean, there's a little bit of tease here, a little bit of tease there, but the ceiling and the possibility of what you can get out of the draft round that you need to select. Man, we're getting some thunder down here. The draft round that you can get Brantley out of, it's worth the risk. Now, when it comes to Kipnis, he was inside my top 13 second baseman, but now with the injury, he's fallen outside. He's more around 15, 16, so I'm hedging a little bit there where, if again, there's some fantasy leagues, Andy, where you can start a middle infielder, and that's where I would go early and probably pick up Kipnis a little bit earlier than if you're just starting second baseman. I just don't know if I'm going to feel comfortable going that direction. Now, Carrasco's the big one. If I was drafting today, and I hate to say this because, again, I know the audience, I would just stay away from it because the one comparison that I threw out there is, okay, it's an elbow, and we don't know the clarity. Down here in Cincinnati, Anthony Descalfani, he's out for like 6 weeks with a UCL injury, which, again, can lead to possible Tommy John. On the flip side, and sometimes rest and relaxation can let that heal, Masahiro Tanaka for the Yankees has been playing with a partially torn UCL for a year and a half, and he pitched 30 games last year. So if it's anything really bad that goes down that weird Tommy John line, it can be played with, but there's just so much urgency to stay away from it that I just don't know if the risk is worth the reward there when there are other pitchers that can kind of take Carrasco's place in fantasy baseball. There isn't a pitcher that can do what he did at his best for the Indians on the current roster.
Ryan Fowler of Fox Sports and What a Sports is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. All right, well, let's transition now into some tournament hoops. Last week when you were on with me, you had mentioned that your other job at What a Sports, you guys run simulations, and you mentioned that on Sunday, once you guys knew who all was going to be in the field, you ran that simulation. Give us the results of that and compare that to what you think is actually going to happen, because the simulation, not necessarily your opinion, even though you are a part of that process.
Yeah, so just to kind of give you a little background on how the simulations work. So what happens is, when that bracket is set, the simulation engine is basically, if anybody follows sabermetrics or the advanced metrics that the Browns are using to kind of create whatever they're trying to create, they're down the road. It's basically taking the stats and letting the stats create the projections and the predictions. There's no bias involved. So when the simulations and the matchups occur, it's the stats simulating against the other team's stats. So you want to look at offensive efficiency, defensive efficiency, and there's some complex algorithms and some higher math that goes into those formulas to generate these simulations. But again, the one thing that you hear about all on TV all the time is who this person thinks is going to win. And there's a lot of bias involved. So we try and take that out into the simulations. Now, when we simulated the bracket 1,001 times, the favorite to win, and this is who I actually picked to win too, and again, it's kind of weird because, like you said, my opinion is not involved in these simulations, was the UCLA Bruins. The UCLA Bruins won the simulation and the bracket over 13% of the time. The other Final Four competitors were Villanova, West Virginia, and Kansas. So West Virginia came out of that region with Gonzaga, who's got a little people nervous, people like Arizona out of that region. But there were some other people that were able to crack the code. So you look at 2-1s with Villanova and Kansas. Bruins is a 3 seed, but very, very good if anybody caught one of their games this year. And then West Virginia, who's one of the best defensive teams year in and year out with that full court press.
All right, well, I have to ask, only because I know you. You're a big UCLA guy, so I think there's a little bias on your pick. Not the simulator. I'm not questioning the simulator whatsoever.
Yeah.
It needs
to
be mentioned because there are some Kent State guys in the office I work in. Trust me, they're pretty curious about what might go down with this game a little bit later on the night. At 4:40, Ty Linder, the radio play-by-play voice of the Kent State Golden Flashes, is going to join us to talk about that matchup. UCLA is a really intriguing team. I mean, that game tonight, you have to believe that there's at least a little bit going their direction because they're playing that game 10 o'clock Eastern time, and they're kind of sort of used to playing at that time, whereas Kent State's not. But UCLA, I think, is the big, big wild card here. That's an interesting team that you bring up, and we'll dive into them here in just a second. But there's another team in there you mentioned. Nova and Kansas, they're both 1 seeds. Not that they have easy paths to the Final Four, but West Virginia is such a very, very interesting option to me because that's a team – that if they put that pressure on you and they're able to execute that press that Huggins has been putting on for years and years and years, that can make typically very good, efficient offenses pretty awful. But you just never know what West Virginia you're going to get.
Yeah, and you bring up a great point, because anybody who watched their game against Bucknell yesterday, it was an easy breezy win for them. It took a lot of effort for them to shake out the W to advance on the line, and now they get Notre Dame. And again, it can be a tale of two halves again for West Virginia. You're absolutely right. And I think that's where the simulation engine, when it removes the bias, it doesn't really take into that, where it's kind of like the ebbs and flows. It's looking at the raw stats to generate that prediction. But you're absolutely right. I think West Virginia is one of those teams where, and again, Gonzaga didn't breeze through their first round game in the first half against South Dakota State. I mean, and that's the team that has everybody nervous. If you went and picked Gonzaga to win it all, you're probably in the minority of championship picks, right? I mean, Gonzaga, although they are a number one seed, has been this, they were once a Cinderella story in the late 90s, early 2000s, and then they just kept winning and winning and winning. But they're playing in a less than stellar conference, so they're able to rack up win totals. And then when they get to the tournament, it's letdown city. So I think, again, between West Virginia and Arizona, in the simulation world and in my personal opinion, I think it'll come down to those two, because I think Gonzaga will get tripped up again. It's just going to be too tough for them to get to Phoenix in the Final Four. But, yeah, I think West Virginia, a fascinating story. And, again, it's not like Huggins hasn't done this before. He did it about 5 years ago.
Will you guys run through the simulator again next week after the first round of first two rounds, rather, of games have been played?
Yeah, we re-simulated the Sweet 16, the Final Four, and then the championship. So we will re-simulate on Monday.
Okay, well, that's all the more reason for us to have you on again next Friday, so you can tell us about that second round of simulations. It'll give us a lot more to talk about for sure. Ryan Fowler, Fox Sports, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We'll cut you loose on this, partner. There are a lot of games to get to later on tonight. We've already discussed that UCLA-Kent State matchup. Outside of that, what's the most intriguing matchup for you with the games that still remain in the first round of the tournament later on today?
Well, you know, I think that's a loaded question. I think, again, when you look at the breakdown of Dayton and Wichita State, and again, I don't know how into the weeds you want to go on this, but Dayton is the 7 seed. Wichita State is the 10 seed. And when you look at Wichita State, they've been here before. And Dayton finds a way to get into the tournament on a pretty regular basis over the last few years. But Wichita State, Vegas has them as 6.5-point favorites as the lower seed. And then Wichita State, should they win, will probably play Kentucky. And I think Wichita State has enough going for them, and they're so well coached there. They stay around for 3-4 years, so you have the chemistry there. They can knock off Kentucky, a Kentucky team that's made up of completely freshmen, and that could create a matchup of Wichita State and UCLA. Wichita State is a team that, despite the 10 seed, the double-digit seed, should not be slept on. I think they're too well coached. They hang around in this one-and-done world that we live in. And that's the team that fascinates me the rest of the way.
Ryan Fowler telling us that Wichita State could, dare I say, shock some people.
Yeah. Did it happen?
Too easy. Happen. You put that on a tee for me, man. You set me up for that so well. It was like you gave me a perfect lob on that alley-oop, and you just let me slam that baby home. My man, we could talk all day long about this. We got to cut loose for a second here, but we'll have you on next week to talk more college hoops. Boy, next week will be the 24th, so, I mean, we'll be even closer to the start of the Major League Baseball season. We look forward to it, my man. Always a pleasure. Enjoy the rest of this opening weekend of March Madness.
Take care, man.